Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. When he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? You say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath.' You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by the heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachi, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Woe to you. When popular culture depicts Jesus, it usually focuses on his gentleness and kindness. Why? There are a multitude of reasons, but I suspect the overarching reason is this is the kind of Jesus culture finds acceptable, a Jesus who is comforting, supportive, and caring. This Jesus is all about love, never one to rebuke or call for a drastic heart change. Matthew 23 shows a different side of Jesus and thus a different side of true love. His love for God's people reveals itself in his stern rebuke to the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes present themselves as righteous through their titles, deeds, and practices. They have convinced themselves the way they are living is pleasing before God. Yet Jesus sees through their hollow deeds and hypocritical words. And propelled by love, Jesus calls him out of their religiosity with a sharp rebuke. Woe to you. The crux of Jesus' rebuke focuses on the heart, the inner life. He reveals to the scribes and Pharisees, their lives appear holy to human eyes, but to God, their hearts are full of lawlessness and hypocrisy. The outer life is not reflective of the inner life. And it is easy to think that such actions are below us. However, the warning here is not only for the religious leaders of Jesus' day, but for you and me. Do we celebrate the promotion or the performance of others outwardly, but inwardly, do we envy them? Is our repentance marked with godly sorrow and an earnest desire to keep from sin? Do we utter with our lips our love for the Lord, yet our hearts are far from him? Woe to you. The truth is, many of the charges that Jesus brings against the scribes and the Pharisees are not excluded from us. Our hearts are unclean. We have played the hypocrite. We have lived a double life. And Jesus has a harsh word for the double life because a double life has a terrible end. It is those who lead a double life that put Christ on a cross. In fact, our double life is why Christ died on a cross. This is why the great Scottish hymn writer Horatius Bonar wrote, "And of the shouting multitude, I feel that I am one. In that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. I see the scourges tear his back. I see the piercing crown. And of the crowd who smite and mock, I feel that I am one. Around yon cross, the throng I see mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to be as if I mocked alone. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Yet not less the blood avails to cleanse away my sin, and not less the cross prevails to give me peace within." It is our double life that put Christ on the cross, but it is the cross that frees us from it. Christ's lament over Jerusalem was not only a just judgment, but a deep longing for Jerusalem to repent. In other words, though he rebukes, he longs to restore. For those who do turn to him, hear Christ say, "Grace to you." Knowing Christ, there is forgiveness, there is renewal, and there is hope.